Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy.
Hello and welcome to Preaching Time. My name is Brother Robert Reynolds. I'm from Good Fight Baptist Ministries in Lipa City, Batangas, Philippines. Thank you so very much for taking the time to be with me tonight to hear this message that I have for you. I pray it's a blessing and a help to you. Pray that it helps you to grow in grace. Amen. All right, so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to preach on come, deny, take, follow. Come, deny, take, follow. All right, so let's go. Let's see. Hold on just a second here. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and let's read verses 21. To 26. Starting in verse 21, the King James Bible says this: From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Alright, so before I get started with the preaching, let's get a little bit of a background of the book of Matthew. Alright, Matthew has 1,071 verses, 23,684 words. Matthew was written by Matthew the publican, professional extortioner, right? Matthew is written to the Jews, so it is very, very dangerous to get church application, you know, to hang your hat, all right, on church doctrine, all right, from Matthew. But there could be some spiritual applications, all right, because most of the verses in the Bible, if not all of them, they have three applications: doctrinal, historical, and spiritual. Or devotional, however you want to call that. All right, so it's dangerous. It's dangerous to get doctrine, church doctrine, from Matthew. Matthew presents Christ as King of the Jews. Now, Matthew is, here's another reason. Another reason why it's dangerous to get church doctrine from Matthew. Matthew is a transitional book. Right? It transitions from Old Testament to New Testament. Okay? So, it's that bridge for those two testaments. Alright, so in our text verses, we read, we see that Jesus at this time, he started to show his disciples the things that he must suffer, and that he would be killed, and that he would raise again the third day. But what happens? Peter denies scripture, and he rebukes the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Peter had good intentions, but he just did not see the glory that shall come after the sufferings of Christ. He did not see that. Alright, so then he goes on to tell his disciples about some things that a disciple of Christ should do. Alright, so let's take a look at those things. And as we go on from here, let's you and I examine ourselves and our walk with the Lord. Okay? All right. The first one. If any man will come after me. All right. Let's read Matthew 16:24 again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." All right, let me say here, okay, that Christ, he's speaking to his Jewish disciples. Okay? So, if any man will come after me. This verse is doctrinally, as I said, addressed to Christ's Jewish disciples. Right? And it's an indication of after Christ's death. Due to the fact that the cross is mentioned. And he also tells them that he must be killed. Right? In verse 21. Now, Christ's cross was the cross of Calvary, where the Roman soldiers put, from what I have read, 7-inch nails through his hands and his feet to fasten him to that cross. So, Christ's arms were stretched out, and those nails were put into his hands. Many believe that the nails were right here in the palm of his hands, but that's not going to hold him. So the nails were put here in the wrist. That is part of your hand also. Okay? And because of the pain from the nails in the hands, his hands would be paralyzed. Christ's feet were nailed to the cross, where his legs would be bent at a 45-degree angle. To speed up death, sometimes the soldiers would break the legs of those being crucified But for Christ, they did not do this. All right, look at John 19. John 19, verses 31 to 37. All right. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Let me stop right there a minute, because I want to say something about that verse 34 there. Notice that when Christ was pierced in his side, what came out? Blood and water. So that is an indication that Christ really did die. The blood and the water separated. Okay, and then verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he said it true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And then verse 37. And again another scripture saith, they shall not look upon. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All right, so Christ's legs were not broken. Let's see. All right, so okay. So once the legs gave way, the weight would be transferred to the arms. It would eventually come down to where all the weight would be put on the chest, suffocating the one being crucified. Now, on top of being suffocated, Christ also shed every drop of his blood. It's not like what you see in drawings or paintings or whatever. You'll see this person is really not Christ. It's a bearded lady, but he's got one trickle of blood coming down here and one trickle of blood coming down his side where it was pierced. But that's not the case. That is very, very unrealistic. Remember, Christ was beaten beyond recognition. All right? Remember when he was whipped with that cat and nine tails? That thing had blades on the end of it. Sharp things. When he was hit with it, it would cut up his back. And you know, on that cross, Christ not only not only took on the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders, but he became sin for us who knew no sin. Second Corinthians 5:21. Wow. My goodness. So the cross was an instrument of death. So what Jesus was talking about in this verse is not really about the suffering and pain that we go through here in this life, but being committed to him even unto death. The path that Jesus trod led him to death. Therefore, we take up our cross, follow Jesus. It may lead to our death as well. But are you willing to follow Christ? Count the cost. So to be committed to Christ, what do we have to do? Number one, we have to deny ourselves. Matthew 16:24 again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny means not to afford or yield. See, this Christian life, my friends, it's not about me, I. What can I get out of pastoring a church? What can I get out of being an evangelist? What can I get out of witnessing for the Lord? This Christian life is about Christ and him alone. It's about bringing glory and honor to the Lord, not bringing glory and honor to ourselves. So denying ourselves, we would not want, or we shouldn't want anything that would bring self-gratification in our lives and not bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we do something, we should pray about it, ask the Lord about it, examine whether or not it will bring glory to the Lord, examine our motives behind what we want to do. Is it to bring glory to the Lord? Is it for financial gain? Is it for glory? Is it to make ourselves known to people? It's about Christ. Putting him first. So I have some questions here that I want to give you that each of us should be asking ourselves before we do something. All right, and number one is, does it please God? And then number two, would I like for the Lord to find me doing it when He returns? Number three, can I ask the Lord's blessing on it? Number four, does it violate my conscience? Number five, would it cause a weak Christian to stumble? And then number six, would it cause an unsaved person to deny the gospel? You see, there is only room. Only room for one master. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Look at Matthew 6:24. Let me go there real quick. Matthew 6:24. All right, Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. But, you know, I know that there's going to be times that we will slip. I know there'll be times that we sin. But I want to ask you, have you ever heard the saying, if Christ is not the Lord of all, He is not Lord at all? That there, my friends, is lordship salvation. And they say, those that teach this, a lot of them will say that, say you have a person that professes to be saved. You know, they put their faith and trust in Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. But they commit sins. Lordship salvationists, a lot of them will say that if you profess to be saved, but you are sinning, then you are not saved at all. Hence, if Christ is not the Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. So they say that that person never made Christ their Lord. But let me tell you tonight that we do not make the Lord of our life. At the moment of salvation, He automatically becomes our Lord. But it's up to the person whether they want to acknowledge Him as their Lord. Believe it or not, inside every Christian there is a war going on inside of them. This war is between the flesh and the spirit. Just because a person is saved does not mean that that old sinful flesh goes away. That old sinful flesh is right there. And so what happens is, you have that old sinful flesh pulls you in one direction and say, oh, come on, let's do this, let's do this. I need this, you need this, you know that. Nobody's watching, it's okay. Just one time. It's not going to hurt anything. But then on the other side, you have that new man inside of you. And it's pulling you in the other direction. And it's saying, don't you do that. That does not please God. It will not bring glory and honor to Him. And so now you have a decision to make. So there's spiritual warfare going on inside every believer. But let's look at Romans chapter 7. And I'll go there real quick. Romans chapter 7. And we'll read verses 13 to 25. All right. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me. By that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin, under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. All right? Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And in verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after. Notice what he says here. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So looky here again. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. You see, the battle is for your mind. God wants your mind. The devil wants your mind. Renew your mind. Stay in God's book daily. Let him speak to you. And then you learn. And then you grow. And then look at verse 24. What the Apostle Paul says. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See that? The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. See that? With the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. For a saved person. Saved person commits a sin. It is not them that is sinning. It is their flesh. The flesh sins. That new man that is inside of you cannot sin. Because it came from God. So it's the flesh that sins. So, the inward man. Let's go to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're saved, you are in Christ, right? You're a part of the body of Christ. Now, a lot of people, a lot of preachers, they read this verse or whatever. They will read that first part there of that verse, and they will stop right there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But my friends, we have to continue on with that verse so that you see everything there, what's going on. So let's start over and read the whole verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see that there? For a saved person, there is no condemnation as far as going to hell. They're not going to go to hell. But if a saved person, which by the way, a saved person can go out and commit the same crimes, same sins, whatever that an unsaved person can. So if they go out and they commit a crime, say that they rob a bank or they kill somebody, God forbid, but there is going to be some condemnation there. There's going to be some legal condemnation. So now you got the flesh and you got the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to grow the most. So here, if we commit a sin, this is what we need to do. First of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. All right. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So what we need to do, when we commit a sin, we need to judge that sin as sin. Judge ourselves. And then, as per 1 John 1:9, we confess that sin to God. Yes, Lord, I did it. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm sorry. Because sin hurts our fellowship with God. It will not ever hurt our salvation whatsoever, but it hurts our fellowship with God. But we judge that sin as sin, we confess it to God, and then God puts us right back into the proper fellowship with Him. Amen. So, confess that sin to God. And remember what the Apostle Paul said. Yeah, you know, let me back up a minute here. You know, there's preachers out there, you know, with books about, you know, your best life now and all this other stuff. Feel good about yourself. But what did the Apostle Paul say? Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. So, I will go ahead and I will stop right there, and I will continue this next Wednesday night, and Lord willing, I will continue it. But I just want to thank you so very much for being with me. Thank you for your prayers for me and my family, for the ministry that He has entrusted us with. I pray that this message is a blessing to you. I pray that it helps you to grow in grace. Pray that it helps you to learn more about the Lord, more about His Word. And I pray that as you learn and you grow, that you teach others as well. Amen. So that they grow. All right. So thank you so very much for being with me. Until next time, God bless you.
Then He'll call us home. his table we'll set down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna.